Crushing the rising billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Mitch.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well.
My brother from another mother.
My brother from another mother. My brother across the pond, the mountains, and the streams, the rabbits and crickets and the snakes, because we are just a tad bit remote from each other, actually nearly coast to coast.
Yeah,
but not bad. We've had a great morning so far. We had a good morning early. Then we had a podcast just prior with a great individual, and we got another great individual here. So I'm excited about what we're going to talk about here. I think it relates to everybody. So Chris, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing really well for sure. And what an interesting topic today, one that's near and dear to my heart. But I want to jump in for sure and start talking about the salesman who doesn't sell. How about that? I can't wait to it's obviously intriguing. Pulls people in to want to know more because we all know that in order to create commerce in your business, you have to be able to do something, and it's called sales.
Yeah.
And he's got something really cool he's going to share with obviously today. But Alan, you always do the great pleasure, so why don't you just bring it home?
Awesome. Thanks, bud. You know, without the entrepreneur and the salesperson, our economy, our culture, the global culture would stand still.
Yes.
Right? It is near and dear to our hearts. It is part of what we do. It's part of every aspect of our business. And it's actually every aspect of our guest life, too. He is the founder and president of True Blue Life Insurance. And as you had mentioned, by the book, the owner of the book, the writer of the book, the founder of the book, the promoter of the book, the life of the book, let's bring him on. Brian Greenberg, welcome to Think Bold, Be Bold.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, absolutely, Brian. Nice to meet you. You are here. And we are going to bring you back through the story of time. You could be doing anything, my friend. You could be doing anything. But you're doing what you're doing. And I'd love to hear, that journey, that story, because that's really where the relatability comes in. And audience, just so you know, this is a great time to pull out your journal, just like
absolutely.
Alan and I always have in front of us, because there's golden nuggets.
We do.
Absolutely. There's those golden nuggets that come out, and it might be that one little slight edge that you get today from Brian that might really change the way you think about things, the way you take action towards things, and maybe those things will change what you're, want or maybe making the change that you want in your life. So let's dive in, Brian. Give us sort of a backstory to as briefly as you can, of course. This is This is your show, I should say. And you could go as long or as little as you want, but give us a brief history, and then let's get into today and the book, and let's teach some things today. How about that?
Very good. Alan, Chris, I'm one of those guys who have family that's been entrepreneurs, all right? So my father was an entrepreneur, grandfather, uncles, everybody. So at a very early age, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. When I graduated college, I actually majored in entrepreneurship. And it was, you know, I graduated in 2000. It was, you know, it was the time of the internet. Everyone was making so much money on the internet. I knew I wanted to go into it. One of the first jobs I had was working for MetLife, selling insurance. And, you know, the life of an insurance agent is not so fun, right? You got to drive around, knock on doors, convince people to buy insurance. They told me that insurance always has to be sold. It's never bought, which means you have to, you know, kind of push people into buying insurance. And I didn't agree with it. I believed insurance should be bought and not sold.
I agree.
And, you know, I
did the same thing. I had an insurance agency, too. Not to interrupt you, but I totally get it. I'm totally behind you. I see exactly where you're going. Good. Enough said. Go for it.
You know, I wanted to sell it online, Alan, and I took a job at an internet marketing company called Submit a Website here in Arizona. They were one of the first and best internet marketing companies, and I just dove in. And it was the time that Google and Yahoo and everybody was kind of coming in, and I got into the game early, and I've been selling life insurance online since 2004. Wow. In 2015, I really expanded it and kind of focused on it, brought everything in-house. Now, one of the reasons why I went into the insurance business as my primary focus is that the insurance niche is one of the most competitive niches there is on the internet. So If you're going to buy an ad on Google Ads or pay-per-click, you know, it can cost $30 to $50 a click. Well, if I could rank organically on Google, it's basically free traffic. So if I was going to focus my energies on anything, I wanted to do it on the most profitable business I had access to, which was insurance. So, you know, I find myself today with True Blue Life Insurance. We sell insurance directly to consumers in all 50 states. And I bring in everyone through my website. And I get about, you know, between $500,000 and $600,000 worth of organic traffic every month. And that's where I find myself now, and I've taken all that I've learned and how I attract people to my website and how I convert them when they get there, and I put it in a book called The Salesman Who Doesn't Sell.
Amazing. Talk about that book. So do you teach people out of the book how to do this as well? Is that one of the objectives of the book, is to take the information that you've been able to do in the insurance, whether people are in insurance or not, and be able to use the internet to their advantage? So, because one of the taglines, I believe, is make money while you sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously true for you, and true for you. Get that? True blue for you.
Yeah.
It's true blue for you. I knew it'd find something there. So is that... is that the premise, you know, Brian, now with the book?
Absolutely, yes. My parents and my family, they've always started passive income businesses.
Like that.
And over the years, I have as well. I've had e-commerce websites. And, you know, while the insurance business isn't 100% passive, it is for me, because I'm able to sell people completely on my website. I do have agents, but they just pretty much, you know, will finish the application and get a digital signature.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, I had a message I wanted to share, and it's the main reason why I wrote the book. And that's that if you do business honestly, ethically, and transparently, I want to teach you how to leverage that and how to leverage that to bring in customers and then close them without having to talk to them. So there's so much you can do online to bring business to any business you have with a limited amount of energy and resources. You set it up once and you just kind of reap dividends. And that's what I wanted to teach.
The first thing that people need to, you know, really determine in order to go in this direction, because there's a lot of things out there that if you type in passive income or you type in, you know, make money while you sleep and all that, I mean, there are going to be absolutely millions probably of hits. So how do you cut through, and what's sort of that major thing that people, you know, can get from you immediately once they start reading that book?
Right. You know, there's a lot of programs out there that are great, you know, where you can make money, very minimal effort. The thing that I like to get through is that it's not a shortcut. I want to teach people that it's better to play the long game.
I like that.
which is very important. So I'm not teaching shortcuts per se.
Sure.
I'm just teaching people how to do things how I believe is the right way and then leverage it. And in the long term, what I found is that the good guys win, right? The people who are doing business unethically or, you know, non-transparently,
sure,
they drop off. So as long as I'm continuing to do business the right way, building up customer reviews, giving away things, you know, basically satisfying customers, I keep finding that the competitors above me keep dropping off, or I keep, you know, beating them essentially. And I think that if you do focus on satisfying the customer, there's so many different ways to leverage it that you'll just constantly increase your business. The wheel will start spinning. It'll start spinning on its own, and it'll start bringing you in new business.
Do you use any kind of system to be able to pull that business review or satisfaction, if you want to call it, so that becomes an automated thing as well? Or do you have to reach out personally? Bring us through that a little bit, because I like what you said about the right way. I truly believe that same philosophy is work on the right things, play the long game, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Either something will happen for you to grow, or all the people, you know, that are doing it the other way will drop off.
There's absolutely a specific way to do it, yes. The first thing is you want them to review you online, so the best way to do that is email. I use ActiveCampaign. You can use pretty much anything, but you want to automate the review process.
Sure.
So after somebody purchases something, or the process is done, I'll send them an email from ActiveCampaign. I'll send it on the third day after, the fifth day, the seventh day, and the 11th day.
Gotcha.
All right. I make it very easy. So on my email, I have stars. And if they click a star, they go to my website. And then I ask them to put in some comments. Now, something that I do, that I first collect reviews on my own website that I control, all right? I think that's very important. Some people may not have their own website to start with, and that's okay, although I like to filter it. So if they give me 5 stars and they give me a nice comment, then at that point I'll go back to them and send them another email, and I'll include the same comment that they gave me so they don't have to think about it again. And I'll send them to the exact link on third-party websites that I want them to give me a review on.
Love it.
So I'll send them I'll send them to my Better Business Bureau page, right? But I won't send them just to the landing page. I'll send them to the actual URL that pulls up the page where they can just put the star and then the comments, right? Huge. And I do the same thing for Google Business. Now, you just need to basically customize the link. Google Business is not easy. You have to kind of go online and figure out how to do it, because you got to pull out your Google Business identification number to do so. But my goodness, you don't want them to do any other steps. If they just click it, they're looking at the stars and the comments, they'll do it.
Make it super simple.
Yeah,
super simple.
Friction.
Right. And, you know, I like to do it on my site first, because if there is an issue, I don't want to send them to the Better Business Bureau or Google Business. It's much easier if I control it first. If they give me a bad review, I have the option not to display it, or I have the option to fix it.
I like that. Option to display it or option to fix it, for sure, before it ends up being, necessarily a negative review. Cool. Alan, what do you got?
Maybe I shouldn't say what do, because that's not actually very good grammar. What do? I could probably make something out of that.
Sure.
But I like what you said a minute ago, and it applies to insurance, but it applies to everything, is that you can't sell something. They have to buy it. Mm. And now on the insurance agent, I owned an insurance agency. And we worked with teachers, and we worked with military, so we worked with PERS and STIRS. But the same kind of thing happened. They had to buy it from us. We could not actually sell it, which means you had to create that relationship honestly and with a great deal of efficacy. And that same thing applies to no matter what business you're in. And my guess is that your book talks about that, because you're not selling. Exactly. You're educating and letting people then make a decision. And isn't that really what business is? You're offering up a value, and then you're allowing them to make a decision. The decision could be, no, thank you. It could be, I want to learn more. It could be, I want to do this part, and I want to move forward. What do you find has been the common journey or the three or four step journey that most of your clients fall into, inside or outside of the sale or the insurance industry?
Of course. Now, I like to catch them when they're going online, because when they do that, they're researching and they're very high up or low down in the sales funnel. They're ready to buy. So that's the that's the time I want to get them.
Right.
Now, because they're doing research, I really like to implement informational selling, right? I don't want to put a hard sell on them. I want to give them all the information. And the more information I give them, the less information I need to basically get on the phone and sell them, right? So if the customer has any questions that aren't answered on my website, it's an impediment to the sales process. If you don't list your prices on there, if you don't know what the shipping is, or what the refund policy is, or any of these things, this takes resources. So I like to implement informational selling. Now, there's a great book out there called Influence by Robert Cialdini, and he goes over a lot of these psychological things that people go through. So when people come to my business, I like to give them something, and I invoke the theory of reciprocity. That's the number one. I like to give them as much as possible, like you said, Alan, give them something of value. Then, after that, I like to give them social proof. So what I find is when people are buying things, more and more they're relying upon reviews.
Big time.
Big time, much so. Right? Now, the reviews act as kind of like, you know, in the past it was word of mouth, or, you know, they wanted to check references. Now they don't need to do that, right? They can just go and see the reviews. Those are the references. If they see a lot of five-star reviews and they see happy people, it tips the scale, and you got the sale. So give them something, theory of reciprocity. You know, give them the social proof, and then take the risk out of it, right? So, you know, whatever you're selling, if it's insurance, there's a free look period. If, you know, they apply, it's not official, or there's a free trial or a money-back guarantee. If you offer these kind of ingredients, you could – you can, whatever business you're in, you can pacify that part of it.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Let's role play real quick for a second. Ooh. I got on your site. I like what I see. But dude, I gotta talk to you. I want the eyeball to eyeball, or the fingerprint to fingerprint, because I want to know there's really a person behind this that has my best interest at heart. How do you tackle or handle that? Not an objection, but just kind of a scenario.
Absolutely. Look, I'm selling life insurance. They absolutely need to know that we're real people. So, you know, first I'll, you know, they see the reviews. I like to let them know I exist in as many places as possible. So, you know, LinkedIn, or I'll tell them, you know, all the associations I belong to. So, but yes, they'll always want to speak with somebody. And as long as you're there to answer it in some way, shape, or form, it's huge. So we offer live chat, which is a nice thing, a toll-free number. One thing I like to do in my business is I actually pay a receptionist service. And they're called Ruby Receptionist. The thing I love about them is, well, they have a lot of people there. And they answer the phone for just, you know, their hours are incredible. You know, they answer the phone up to 9 p.m. and they answer the phone on the weekends. And the thing about Ruby Receptionists, you know, I got to give them credit. These guys answer the phone with a smile. You could hear them smiling. So anytime someone calls my business, they're speaking with a human being.
Like that.
You know, I hate to put them in a call tree, right? It's not real. But even if an agent's
like
not
a coat tree?
A what?
Is a call tree like a coat tree?
I don't know what a coat tree is.
Just kind of hang it up there and hope that you get it later. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it says press one for sales, press two, and you got to listen to the ninth option to get the one you want, and then nobody answers.
I just hit zero every time, and it usually puts me right through to a person.
That's a good strategy, man.
It is, but they're getting smart as well, because I tried that several times, and it's like, what? That doesn't even work anymore?
Yeah, it's true.
Try to call Facebook.
Especially when people find you online and they're able to get a real person, it's a huge thing, because most of the time they don't even expect it. So if a person picks up, they're surprised, and it just goes miles as far as building up the trust.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fantastic.
You know, the industry of insurance is really a prophetic thing, because it really creates and deals with security. And not false security, but usually generational security. Mm. And so you really do build a relationship with people for a long period of time. So with that said, what's your ongoing program, or how do you keep that loyalty and that relationship kindled as the days and years go by, whether it be with insurance or whether it be with anybody else that's read your book and applied the principles?
One of the easiest ways is email, right? So we know their birth dates and we know their anniversaries, just because we took so much information on the insurance application.
Right.
So we always wish them a happy birthday and happy anniversary. It goes a long way.
Yeah, it does.
Of keeping the relationship. The other thing is, look, we usually call them just to check on a yearly basis, just to kind of review the insurance or make any changes to address or beneficiaries. Whether they take us up on that call or not, it's up to them. Mm-hmm. Now, you do bring up a very good point. You know, we'll sell one type of insurance policy, and we build that relationship. And it's so important to build up other products, ancillary products that can increase the lifetime value of your clients. And that's something that we're still working on. We're still, you know, I find myself in the insurance business, so every product we add requires a lot of licensing, a lot of contracting.
Yep. Agency and, contracts, individual contracts, and how all that gets worked out.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're constantly adding products, and it's unfortunately it's just mind-boggling slow. And I like to build up aggregators. That's kind of one of the things that I like to do as far as giving people something and all the research they need. So I'll aggregate all the rates from all the different companies, and that takes a long time too, and I invest a lot of money. So we're going to be doing that for auto and home and renters next, and that's what we're working on now. We currently sell, you know, disability, med subs, and life insurance and annuities. We want to expand to the other side, which is property and casualty.
You can holistically serve your client.
Yeah, I feel like we're leaving money on the table, and I think that's a great way for businesses to grow, is to sell their customers more things.
Awesome. Speaking of leaving money on the table, let's talk about that a second, because give us an example of a really crappy experience that you were able to either learn from or turn around, because we all have those, right, in business. We all have those challenging times where it would be easy just to hang up the phone or turn the other way. But the real important thing to do is to not necessarily salvage, but to be able to really truly serve that client, whether or not you got any business from it, but to have that air of service. Have you had any of those? I know you do a lot of automation, but do you have any of those that you can pull from and kind of give us some greasy, juicy stuff?
Yeah, all the time. Look, because we deal with insurance companies. Insurance companies, you know, they're slow, and then they don't really care too much about the customer. So one of the things that comes up so often is the insurance company will draft on a day that the customer isn't ready. All right, that I deal with that way too often. It surprises the customer. Sometimes they'll do two payments at one time if they decided to, you know, they took too long deciding if they were going to take the policy. So the answer is, you know, how do you deal with upset customers? Now, from my standpoint, number one, I want the person on the phone, the agent, whomever it is, to be able to handle it right then and there. The last thing I like to do is to put them off into, oh, I got to ask my manager, right? I hate that. Or if somebody said, oh, if I do it for you, I'd have to do it for everyone. Oh, my goodness. I hate it when they say that.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to take a loss just to satisfy the customer. I'll pay their NSF fees. Mm-hmm. I'll pay their first month's premium just to make them happy. All right. I never want an upset customer, and I'm willing to pay for it. The reason being is if they do give me a negative review, and overwhelmingly people do that these days, that can cost me tens of thousands of dollars. And I've seen it happen time and time again that, you know, having a one-star review with somebody telling this negative experience, it's like a roach in the middle of a restaurant.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Avoid it at all costs. So, you know, oftentimes I'll get on the phone with the customer too. It means a lot if the owner of the business calls. Sure. And I'll simply ask them, what can I do to make you happy? Mm-hmm. And what do you think is fair, right? Mm-hmm. And then it'll come out. Look, they're upset. I understand. I would be upset too. I understand where they're coming from. It's not I'm not in business to make it hard for you. I'm here to help you. What can I do to make it right? And I'll send gift cards to Amazon, whatever it takes. And knock on wood, I got a lot of five-star reviews all over the internet, and I don't have any bad reviews.
That's awesome.
Because even if they gave me a bad review, I've been able to get out of it.
Great.
Well, that's good.
Automation opens up some time, Brian. Absolutely. And what do you do on your spare time? Tell us a little bit about you. And, you know, we've talked about the insurance business. We've talked about how you can increase. You know, definitely going to dive into your book. I just actually ordered it. And, you know, really this whole presence of time is one thing that everybody wants to chase and have. So what do you do with your free time? What occupies the other part of your life and the fun things you do?
Look at that smile. Something's coming.
Yeah.
You know what? I have a four-year-old son, and it seems like, okay, you know, if you have a kid, you know, what he likes to do is fun for me.
Sure.
So, you know, Disneyland, whatever it is, having a kid is just, it's like Disneyland, right? It's just so much fun watching these little guys.
Sure.
Now, yeah, you're right. I automate, I delegate, I systematize. So I find, you know, I do my best to spend my time doing the tasks that only I can do, only a CEO or founder can do.
Sure.
Or they're called, you know, I think people call it C-level tasks, or tasks that, you know, are $500 an hour tasks rather than the ones that are, you know, $10 or $20 tasks.
Yeah, I like that.
So I find myself doing a lot of the marketing. You know, that's one of the things that helps my business tremendously is getting links and doing marketing. One of the reasons why I wrote the book, gentlemen, is so I can go on podcasts like this and you guys can link to my website. And that's just it does so much. Yeah. And the more I do that, the better.
Absolutely. You become omnipresent in a lot of ways because of the connection and the reach that you have by leveraging. So let's get into what does your 4-year old boy like to do? What is the because I'm not letting you away from that one. I want to get into the personal a little bit because it's important for, you know, one of the things that is really great for our show is really understanding who the person behind that is. And
being relatable.
You know, one of the things is finding out, you know, like this type of stuff. What is your, what's he into? Any Star Wars? Is he, you know, my boys are, you know, absolutely crazy about Star Wars and Lego. I don't know about you, but you probably have Lego on your floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you stepped on a few.
Oh, yeah, the worst, right? That
2 o'clock in the morning, you get a light bulb, the little round light bulb stuck between your middle toe and your big toe.
Oof.
Yeah, right.
As far as, you know, what he likes, you know, I tried to get him to Harry Potter. He's still scared of that stuff, but he loves these Magna tiles. I don't know if you know what these are.
Oh, yeah, I know all about those.
Loves building. We recently got a dog, which was, I never thought I would get a dog. We got a little lab, and that's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun training this little dog. You know, I got like one of those pouches where I can put the treats in and teach him how to do this stuff. You know,
they're smart. They're smart, but they don't stay little forever.
No, they're getting big. I do value work-life balance very much.
Beautiful.
So, and, you know, my wife helps me at work. So I've been able to work in family businesses my whole life. And
that's important.
It's important to value the relationships above to profits. All right, it's if the relationship isn't good, it's not fun, and then it ruins everything.
Absolutely.
You know, other spare things. Look, I read. You know, I think that most CEOs and founders and leaders read. Leaders are readers. Mm-hmm. So I do my best to read, you know, at least two books a month. I'll read one on audio and one on paper. And it's so important.
Definitely. I agree with you.
And besides that, look, I'm one of those guys. I'm a homebody guy, so I just like crashing on the couch and watching shows, Netflix, movies, you name it. That's how I relax.
Favorite show?
Oh, my goodness, gentlemen.
put them on. We told you we would give the hot seat a little bit here.
Man.
I don't know.
It's easy to dive into your business because you're there.
I watch so many, gentlemen.
I'm
ready for House.
What's the last one you binge watched?
House of Cards. I kind of got
into. Okay, cool. Yeah, that one Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, there was another one. It was kind of sci-fi. It was called Mars. It was about the first people that go and colonize Mars, and it's coming out with a second season. I'm excited about that one.
Cool, I'll have to check
it out. A National Geographic or History Channel type of shows.
Oh, I like History Channel. Yeah.
Me too. I really enjoy those. You know, to just dive into stuff that I absolutely have no clue about, and you know, I didn't even realize that it actually is a thing. You know, I saw on Netflix that there's something called haunted tourism or something like that, where or like some weird, you know, kind of stuff that happens around the world, and people actually go to do these and experiences where, you know, for one is going down to Colombia and reenacting, you know, Pablo Escobar stuff and, like, you know, behind the scenes and actually getting murdered, and it's like, what the heck, like, you know, it's just really crazy. But I love diving into some of those things because I'm the same. And
me,
you know,
too.
When you have young kids, you know, you need to, you know, realize where you are in those moments of time, because listen, they're busy and they can tire you out. You know, come around my house later in the evening when they're gone to bed, and it's like, holy mac, like, you know, eyes are spinning, and you know, you just have to dumb down a little bit and just get into something. So that's cool. House of Cards, big one for me as well. Really enjoy the, you know, that show. Alan, how do these shows go so fast, brother?
I don't know. I'm looking at my watch and I'm going, no.
I know.
It's already been like,
I know, and we're just getting to the juicy stuff.
We actually haven't really dove into the book yet.
Yeah, we actually right. We'll have to get him back on. Brian, we'll get you back on the show. I like you a lot, and it's one of those things that Alan and I always like to challenge. You know, every show is to see, you know, when we can break people out. Like, when are they just going to like break free
and
from
explode.
What they do? And you know, we had a show that it's more about who you are, and
I
you know,
like
we're
that.
Starting to really get an understanding of who you are. And I you know, I really appreciate that. So thanks for sharing that part of your life. Sometimes people keep it private for whatever reasons, but we always like to be able to, you know, find out a little bit more, because that's the relatability. You know, you could be talking to someone or talking to us and someone listening, and this is for the audience out there, and then all of a sudden you hear that one slight edge that a guy like you talks about that someone else can relate to, and all of a sudden you've changed a life. And that's the type of things that we like to pull out in this show, is that stuff that, you know, people are wrapped up in and just have that little thing that says, wow, you know, maybe I should look into that. Maybe I should listen to that one little thing and go research it. And, you know, folks, just so you know, you can get the book on Amazon, and we will, you know, definitely be posting this inside the show. But it's The Salesman Who Doesn't Sell, A Marketing Guide for Making Money While You Sleep. It's also an Audible, so check it out. And you'll get to know, you know, more about Brian himself, I'm sure, and, you know, what's been able to get his business where it is. And that's what the importantest thing is all about. This show is going to be featured on C-Suite Radio. I just want to throw out that. And we are obviously on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Play. Google, Stitcher, Play. Did you get that one, Alan?
That's I got that. I was going to say that we're on a new channel.
Right. We're just going to create
a
merger here. Google and Stitcher are going to come together. Maybe that's a premonition. I don't know. But Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, and soon to be SoundCloud. And we really appreciate the audience for tuning in. If you want anything, or, you know, have any comments as well for Brian, we, you know, happy to field them. Of course, you can come and leave them on our social media, but you can also email us at info@thinkbold.com. And we will definitely get that to Brian. Brian, it's been a pleasure, but you're not done yet.
No,
we've got something that we always like to call the landing, and Alan is going to get you through the landing.
Yeah, I am.
Nice and smooth.
But before I do that, I want people to know they can go to Brian's landing page. It's Brian J. Greenberg, B-R-I-A-N-J, just the letter J, Greenberg, G-R-E-E-N-B-E-R-G. .com. Now you can get his book on there. You can see all the different services he's got. You can get a picture of his beautiful face, and I don't know if he's got pictures of his family on there. I've been buzzing around at trying to find something to really personal on there. Brian, you need to put some pictures of your family on there. No, just kidding. But you can get answers to a lot of the questions, and he's got a number of things you can download. So really check out his product, because he's really got it going on. But like Chris said, we like to leave the audience, our audience with, a unique tool or some advice or suggestion, something that they could actually implement today without downloading anything necessarily or without really having to do a lot of pivot in their life, but something that they can use right now to enhance either their life, their family life, their business life, or the people around them. So with that in mind, Brian, what could you leave with the audience today? It can be something you've already talked about or something new that can enhance their life before they put their head on their pillow tonight.
You know what? I'd like to give two business things that I like to use. So I write a lot of articles for content, and that's a big part of building links. I use a free program. It's called headlines.sharethrough.com. And it just gives you a score for how good the headline is to the article. Gentlemen, if you have a good headline for an article, it's catnip to all these editors and publications. It's so useful, and it's free. I don't know why it's free. It's that good.
Wow.
The other thing that I use that I think if you have a website and you want to start ranking for whatever it is, use a tool. I use SEMrush. SEMrush, there's another one called ahrefs.com. Check out one of these tools. See what your competitors are doing. See what keywords they're ranking for. See where they're getting links. It'll open up the whole door. It'll open up the curtain. You'll see the wizard, and then you can go in and you can beat him.
See the wizard.
I like that.
See the wizard.
That's awesome.
I like the wizard.
Yes. That's fantastic, and tools are amazing.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot of times these are the little tiny things, and right there, that could be the slight edge that we were talking about, Brian.
That's right.
I really appreciate that, because a lot of people are wondering, what do they use? How do they drive that? How are they making that possible? What is going on that I don't know about?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Brian, for taking some time out of your day and hanging out with us. As soon as the show obviously is aired, we'll have all the information off to you. We obviously appreciate the audience. You guys are amazing. It's what we do this show for, is to give you those little tiny stories or those big epiphanies or those things that can really change your life, and we really appreciate you coming in. Alan, always a pleasure, my friend.
Likewise, bud.
Wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.